Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the New Mainstream podcast, where we explore the impact of multicultural consumers on marketing and media. I'm your host, Mario Carrasco, and co-founder of Think Now. Excited to have today's guest, Thon Theory Z. Johnson, VP of Customer Transformation at Zappi, and MRX Explorer podcast co-host. This is our first cross-podcast guest. Welcome to the New Mainstream, Z.
Thank you.
So let's dive in. Actually, you're one of our first guests kind of in the space that Zappi dabbles in. We're usually on the agency side, so excited to talk to someone from kind of a research agency side. Would love to learn more about what does customer transformation mean at Zappi, and what is your job role entail?
Sure. So just a tiny background on Zappi for people who might not know what Zappi does. Zappi is really a provider to the market research industry in terms of technology. And so Zappi's goal is to really automate the world of market research as much as possible. My role within that is helping customers think strategically about how they are doing their market research. So what I've found, and I'm sure Mario, you've encountered this too, in market research, we tend to be really reactive, right? It's like project comes in, just needing to keep on top of all the projects. Well, what we have realized at Zappi, and as part of our core ethos, is really this idea of why are we not taking advantage of all of those projects that we're doing, right? So, you know, there are companies that have done years and years and years of market research, but every project can tend to feel new. And there's no consistency across variables, across questions, across audiences. And so when it comes to automating the world of market research, one of the key things that really, if you want to dive into the richness that can provide, is creating those pieces of consistency along the way. And that's where I get to come in. I get to talk to customers and help them think, you know, either before they do their first project with Zappi or as they're doing their first project with Zappi, let's think about laying the foundation for 3 to 5 years down the road that you're going to be able to take advantage of all of the projects that you've run on the Zappi platform and be assured that the audiences have been consistent, the variables have been consistent, the questions have been consistent as much as possible. How can we really ingrain consistency into the research so that it is comparable over time? That's what I do. I get to come in and ask those questions.
There's so much there. That's super interesting. And I have to admit, I only knew at a surface level what Zappi does from a technology perspective. But I want to dive in more into something you pointed out that's like, it's a fundamental issue in the market research industry, this idea that we're very reactive.
Yeah.
Every project feels new. Lots of hurry up and wait.
Yes.
You get a presentation out, and then it's like, cool, thank you. You don't hear from them for months, and then you start the fire alarm all over again.
Yeah.
What is it about our industry, from your perspective, that lends itself to that type of hurry up and wait? Like, you know, it reminds me of that dog and Up, right? Like squirrel, it just kind of, you yes. see it run. I mean, so what is it about our industry, or like, what have you seen in clients that market research, even though it lends itself so well to being repeatable and using pieces, that it always feels like you're inventing the wheel?
You know, I feel really lucky that I can evaluate that question from having worked on a traditional market research agency side, as well as working on a client side, and now, you know, working almost like this third wheel, right? Technology provider to the industry. I have actually thought about this quite a bit, and I think there are a few things that contribute to our reactiveness as a whole. I know on the client side, for me, there was always striking the balance between what did we need to know to answer a business question versus what would be nice to know. As a researcher, our job by nature is just being curious. Questions beget questions. And because of that, there's always something new that we can be looking into. There's always another lens to explore. There's always another set of questions to examine. What there isn't is time to be able to explore those things. And that comes from us ourselves as researchers, but it also comes from our stakeholders. Our stakeholders traditionally don't do a particularly great job of really zeroing in on a business question. You know, I'll give you an example. When I was at Microsoft, one of my first roles there in the market research team was managing an IT pro tracker, so an audience tracker, pretty broad. And when it came to what are the business questions, it's like we have this massive instrument that goes out twice a year to get satisfaction of IT pros with Microsoft and its competitors across all of the different things that Microsoft competes in. But when you go to the individual teams that needed to use that information, they always wanted to know, well, but what is driving the satisfaction? Like, dig deeper for me, right? And then that turns into a new thing. And then next thing you know, the tracker goes out again, some number has shifted, and then it's now tell me what's going on. So it's like there were always more projects to be done because it was reacting to the data that came in from any given moment. I also tend to think we as researchers, the market research industry, I feel like has been so embedded in academic rigor. And I think that academic rigor actually gets in our way sometimes. We are so concerned about making sure that we have the right answer, asking the right questions. And we kind of forget that there is an element of agility that needs to be considered, right? Like, we're not satisfied with good enough. We have to have bulletproof answers to questions because we just want to, we are seen as that voice of truth. And because of that, we always have these little things that change, right? Like, oh, but there's been a cultural shift. So we need to redo the study to take into account that cultural shift. All those little nuances that change over time that then we as researchers go, that's just enough for me to want to redo this whole thing. Go out and ask the same questions again, right? We don't look for those pieces that do remain consistent. We put so much weight on the things that change and expect that those changes will have such massive downstream impact on the rest of the research that we're doing. So certainly a research from 5 years ago, we can't use today, even though there are elements that we can use. At Zappi, you know, we focus right now very much on the innovation space and the advertising space. You know, there are just some things that, yes, they will change, but there's a lot that stays consistent over time. And so that's my long answer for...
No, that's super, that I can go so many ways with that. But I think that's profound. I mean, and I think you're spot on. And I want to segue into this conversation about the multicultural consumer, because to your point about, well, you didn't say this, but what I got is like discerning, you know, real cultural shifts from perceived ones.
Yeah.
And I think we can all agree 2020, there's been some multiple seismic shifts, to say the least.
Yeah.
You know, pandemic, social justice movement. We're recording this on November 10th. We just had an election. Yeah. So just huge, huge shifts. Us as a company think now we've been focused on the multicultural consumer, you know, since our inception. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure you are now seeing lots of clients come to you about, or maybe many clients come to you about, hey, what, you know, look what's happening from a social justice perspective. You know, integrating, talking to multicultural consumers. I mean, how does that play out, right? Where you want consistency, but then as a researcher, I mean, you're tuned in to the cultural landscape more than anyone. So is it a matter of discerning kind of real cultural change versus noise? And how have you helped clients through this kind of awakening of the importance of multicultural consumers in the U.S.?
You know, one of the things that I realized as we had a customer who came in and was like, hey, our company wants to really make sure that we are capturing the correct market, like an actual view of the market. We know that we're not getting the multicultural lens that we should be getting. The first acknowledgement that we have to make is there are some industries, for example, the tech industry, where there is a massive underrepresentation of multicultural people within the industry itself. So if you're doing research in that industry, you know, you need to be aware of the fact that there is already a problem. There was concern that, you know, panels would be held to bear for not having that correct lens or the correct representation in the panel for that particular study. And it was like, yeah, but let's take two steps back. Let's look at the industry itself. Let's look at what we can find about the multicultural representation in that industry. And then let's take a look at what we're getting in the door in terms of research. So I think there's a little bit of needing to not blame research for the lack of representation right off the bat, right? However, that said, there is so much more that research can be doing to make sure that we do have that representation. But I think we tend to go about it a little bit sideways, where we get so, again, this is the academic rigor. We're like, okay, so if my population looks like X percent this ethnicity, X percent this ethnicity, X percent this ethnicity, that means my research needs to include X percent this ethnicity, X percent this ethnicity, right? Qualitative or quantitative. And what we don't realize is, frankly, we're writing research for a single ethnicity. When we write our instruments, our survey instruments, when we write those trackers, we have so many underlying assumptions that are very rooted in white people answering these surveys. And so I have talked about this on our own podcast. We talked about recently just having the right people involved in the development of the study itself to have that multicultural lens. Like, but also there has to be the opportunity and really the acknowledgement and the desire to truly have the multicultural lens from the very beginning, from the time of the design of the study. Because that's one thing to then again go back and say, oh, great, I have ethnic representation on my team. It's another thing to say, I have ethnic representation on my team and I am purposefully asking them for their experience to bear into the development of this study, right? It's a difference between a check mark and an actual desire to do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly describing the difference between diversity and inclusion.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, diversity is, okay, you have a diverse workforce, you have a diverse sample.
Yep.
And inclusion is, did you ask those people about what they thought of the questionnaire? Did you ask those people on the survey? So I think that's a really good point, because you're right. We tend to focus so much on the sample, asking the right people. But that's kind of the easy part. I mean, I know there's a whole other can of worms there in terms of getting African-American respondents, getting Hispanic respondents, Asian respondents.
Yep.
But it's doable. What's harder is getting those same audiences to look at the survey.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
So that's a really good point. And it's twofold. It's twofold, and it's easily solvable, I feel like, in our industry. And hearing you talk, you mentioned Microsoft, you're in the market research space. For lack of better words, you've worked in some of the least diverse spaces there are, right? If we're real.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a conversation before the podcast. We talked about our experiences about as Latinos, Latinas in this industry. I was in the tech industry as well, at Microsoft as well. So how has your journey been as a Latina researcher working at Microsoft, moving into market research? I mean, how has your background shaped your perspective as a researcher?
You know, the interesting thing about the way that I was raised is, and I think a lot of, especially Latinos, the Latinx community will be able to relate to this. My mother is from El Salvador. She came in 1979 was actually when she came to the United States with my dad. And it was at a time where everything about multicultural ethnicity was, don't highlight it, assimilate, right? It was, you're in the United States, do everything you can to be white. My mom, as she was learning English, as she was learning the culture, all that stuff, the things that I ate growing up, it was fried chicken, spaghetti, fish sticks. I mean, it was not the variety that you might imagine that there is in the menus of Latin American countries. So honestly, when I joined Microsoft, I did not necessarily feel like I belonged to the Latinx community, because my mom would speak Spanish when she was mad at us at home, but otherwise it wasn't our first language at home. We would watch Univision, we would watch Chapulín Colorado, we would watch, you know, the Spanish shows. But so it was almost like I was leading these two parallel lives. There was the Latinx part of me, and then there was the white part of me. And the white part of me was the part that was encouraged to take precedence. So it was actually at Microsoft, in the marketing department, where I actually learned to embrace my Hispanic heritage. There's the employee resource group, ERG, called OLA within Microsoft. And I have a friend who works in market research, in the market research team. And she was just like, Z, why haven't you joined OLA yet? And I'm like, because I don't feel like I fit in. And she's like, are you kidding me? You fit in. Go join. What are you waiting for? And I will never forget the first time I attended one of the OLA events at Microsoft, just being like, oh my God, this feels amazing. I am with my people. Like, just first generation, second generation, third generation, you know, the mixture of your English with your Spanish. And every once in a while you get the Spanish words mixed. It was an incredible feeling, and finally understanding pieces of how I had been raised that the white culture just doesn't, it's foreign to the white culture. It's not at all foreign to the Latinx culture. So if anything, as much as Microsoft has not has not and still is working on being more diverse and being more inclusive. There were and there still are so many efforts to make sure that people bring their true authentic selves, that if you are third generation Latinx, don't know any Spanish, please still join the Latinx community. You still have that blood in you. You still have that connection to the community. Come join it. Come learn about yourself. Come learn about your background. And so it was actually Microsoft where I embraced that part of me and started to realize just how much it could and should be impacting my work, right? Like, hey guys, have we looked at who we're interviewing? Have we made sure that we have the voices represented in our studies? Have we done all these things? And I find it still holds at Zappi. You know, it's like, hey guys, what are we doing to make sure that we are truly representative? What are we doing with our panel companies? What are we doing to consult with our customers to help them think through being more inclusive in their studies? And so if anything, it's kind of funny to me that it was Microsoft where I found more of my Latinx culture and started to contribute more in that frame of mind and in that perspective to the market research community.
That's incredible. I mean, and I think that points to the importance of putting a renewed focus on these ERPs, you know, whether it be Latino, Black, Asian, LGBTQIA, right? Because despite a company still working to be more diverse, these safe spaces are so important. And now we have you, right? We have you in the market research industry helping us move that along. And that's why these conversations are so important.
Yeah.
And I think you point to something that many Latinxers deal with. And I love this reframe. I think much of the time we think of ourselves as half and half, half American, half Latinx, kind of bicultural. Right. But I think that a reframe that's really helped me is being 200%. I'm 100% Latinx. I'm 100% American, because that 50-50 makes you feel less than. You're not much of this. You're not much of that.
Yep.
When the reality is about our experiences, and I really hear it in your story, that you're both.
Yeah.
You're both. You're not 50% American. You're 100% American. You're not 50% Latina. You're 100% Latina.
Yeah.
And bringing that to bear in our work is so important. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah. I think it's really been amazing, truly to feel the power that comes from being 100% each, right? Like, my God, that's another hat I can wear. Mm-hmm. That is a whole other perspective I can talk about. That is a level of empathy I can have and show to other people who have multicultural backgrounds and help them not be scared to embrace their cultural ethnicity and their cultural background and really turn it into a superpower, not just leave it hidden.
Totally. And I think that's a positive thing to come out of what's happening in this country. I think it's this renewed kind of consciousness, awareness, and being able to be more ourselves and speak up where it matters in our workplaces, at home, and personal conversations. And I think it's an honor that we're in the market research industry and we get to impact it at such a big level.
Yeah. Amen to that. Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Z. Believe it or not, we're reaching our time. Thank you so much for joining the New Mainstream Podcast. If people want to connect with you, what's the best place to find you? And drop your MRX Explorer link as well.
Yeah. So you can go to MR Explorer. It's MRXPLORER.com. And you'll actually get a link to the podcast. But you can also find me on LinkedIn. You just type in Z Johnson, you'll find me.
Awesome. Thanks again, Z, and thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone listening in. To get more multicultural insights, check us out at thinknow.com and follow us on social media. You can also subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform. Final thank you to our producer, Lucas Martinez, who created our intro music and makes our podcast sound great. To email him, reach out to martinez.lucas.a@gmail.com.